Hey, you know what? It's really fun to be here.
Y'all know that theme music?
Pierce buries it. Tatum drives down and throws it down.
This is my empty. That's the end of your good I be.
What's up? How we doing? And welcome to another episode of the Banner Banter Podcast. I'm your host and favorite Boston Celtics season ticket holder, Timmy G. How's everyone doing? Hope you had a great weekend. Yeah, fuck it. Let's do it again. Therapy session part two for the most important season of our lives. I am back, just giving you a series preview of the Boston Celtics-Cleveland Cavaliers Eastern Conference semifinal playoff series. And I'm going to come out right now and say this. I don't care about the Heat series anymore. Well, I sprinkle it in here and there, sure, but I'm not going to give you a full breakdown of the past. My therapist tells me I need to move on from the past, so I'm going to start that right now in plain English, where I don't care about it. I don't care what they did in Game 3. I don't care what they did well in Game 4. I don't care how poorly they played in Game 2. It's over and done with. Okay, great. Moving on. Now, before we begin, Tuesday. Doors at 5 p.m., show from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m., big night live, The Truth Lounge, live. That's right, Paul Pierce podcast is going to be live, big night live, before game one. Tickets are available on Ticketmaster.com or go to bignightlive.com. They are reasonably priced tickets. There are going to be some big-time special guests joining Paul Pierce that I cannot announce yet, but working on this event with my good friend Joe Mazzi and Marky P, you gotta come to this event before the game. It's the perfect event to go to, hang out with some Celtics players like Paul Pierce, doing a live podcast. It's going to get you amped for the game. Tickets are available right now. Not a lot left, but come on down. It's going to be a lot of fun. So let's talk about this series, shall we? Round two, on our way to Banner 18, Tuesday, game one, 7 p.m. on TNT at TD Garden. Thursday will also be at TD Garden at 7 p.m. on ESPN. Then we go to Cleveland Saturday and Monday. Saturday will be at 8:30 on ABC and Monday at 7 p.m. on TNT. And then game five will be back at the Garden on Wednesday, back to Cleveland on Friday if necessary for game six, and then back on Sunday, May 19th, if necessary, game seven. The Bruins could also have a game seven that day as well down in Florida. So a lot of crazy. This week's going to be insane. Like, if you're just a Boston sports fan, you got Bruins tonight, then Celtics, then Bruins, then Celtics, then Bruins, and little Red Sox here and there. It's going to be absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. So we're going to be playing the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I'm going to talk about them, and I'll talk about some of the things that I want the Celtics to improve on from the Heat series and just really overall, and maybe throw in some new things, especially with this Tingus Pingus injury that, you know, I still think the Celtics can get by the Cavs easily. I'm not here for predictions and 5-6-7 sweep. I don't give a fuck about that. Just win and move on. Okay, thanks so much. But it's not going to be as easy without Tingus Pingus. But the Cavs also have some injuries as well, so I'm going to break all that down for you. So since the All-Star break, here are a few things about the Cleveland Cavaliers. They went 12-17 since the All-Star break. They scored 108.5 points per game. They shot 47% from the field, which was top 15 in the league, and then eighth in three-point shooting at 38%. Now, that means they are a very good three-point shooting team in the regular season, but just keep that little thought in the back of your mind. Good three-point shooting team in the regular season. The Celtics shot 40% from three and actually made four more threes per game than the Cleveland Cavaliers did. Now, in the playoffs, the Celtics are making about 15 threes a game at a 38.5% clip, and the Cavs are making 8 three-pointers a game at a 29% clip. So yeah, the Celtics are making 7 more three-pointers per game and almost shooting 10 percentage points better. so far. Now, a lot can change. The Orlando Magic defense, with how long and lengthy they are, is absolutely insane. It's hard to shoot over those guys. There was a stat that I saw that the Orlando Magic are the first team since like the 1950s to start four players over 6'10". Like, that's insane. So obviously their athleticism, their length could have bothered the Cleveland Cavaliers in some of their shot making, especially from 3-point range. But here's the thing. The Cleveland Cavaliers actually shoot the ball worse from the free throw line than the Celtics. When you think about the Heat series, you're like, oh my God, the amount of missed free throws that they had. It may not be the first thing that comes in your mind, but it's something that for sure you're like, oh my God. I think Jaylen Brown went, what, 7 of 18 from the free throw line in that? And we'll talk about that later. But the Cleveland Cavaliers shoot 75% from the line. The Celtics shoot 80. The Celtics have to get to the free throw line in this series. And to be honest with you, maybe even get the Cavs to the free throw line because they're not that good at it. Like, yes, you can have Marcus Morris Sr. stand by my man. Marcus Morris is on the Cleveland Cavaliers team. You have Okoro. Those type of guys are going to be defending Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum if it's not, you know, Donovan Mitchell. Because Donovan Mitchell's knee injury is a little, I mean, it's nagging. He's definitely not 100%, but like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum should be able to blow by these type of guys. They can catch the ball, swing through, and go. Yes, solid defenders all around. Okoro is just, you know, he's just like a brick wall, right? But Marcus Morris Sr. doesn't have the same first step that he used to. Probably can't keep up with Jaylen and Jason. Donovan Mitchell probably can. But like Jaylen and Jason blowing by these defenders, going up for layups, stopping at the free throw line, shooting their great elbow jumpers, or doing a drive and kick are going to be massive in this series. The other thing that's going to be massive in this series is rebounding. And I know that sounds so generic and basic and blah, 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 but the Cleveland Cavaliers are the second worst offensive rebounding team in the league. In the league. Like, yes, you aren't going to have Tingus Pingus. And I know rebounding, when you've listened to any of my reels on the Banner Banter podcast Instagram page, I've been repetitive this year, but if you just fucking rebound the basketball, the Cleveland Cavaliers team really can't do much. The Celtics averaged 11 turnovers per game versus the Heat, which, to be honest with you, is great. Like, if you look back at that 2022 NBA Finals run, you would take 11 turnovers per game. The Celtics are 27-5 when they get 50 rebounds or more, and they're 9-6 when they get 40 rebounds or less. Now, Jaylen and Jason, so far in the playoffs, have combined for 17.5 rebounds per game. But now with Tingus Pingus out, that's going to have to be closer to 20, whether it's 11-9, 12-8, you know, 10-10, whatever the case may be. But if you can limit the Cleveland Cavaliers from getting second chance points, and they're not a great 3-point shooting team, how else are they going to score? Yes, Donovan Mitchell, we got that. He can score from all over the court. He's unbelievable. Donovan Mitchell most likely is going to win a game in this series by himself. Like, no joke. It's just going to happen. I just have this feeling that one night he's just going to drop 48 points. Celtics are going to lose by 4. It kind of is what it is. We're going to move on, right? And most likely it will happen in Cleveland, right? That's just how it works. But one other thing that's really interesting about the Cavs that I was kind of surprised with, because the Cleveland Cavaliers, since January 1st, have a top 10 defensive rating in the NBA. Very, very good defensive rating. So the fact that they were 12-17 since the All-Star break is absolutely wild. But even with a top 10 defensive rating, they are bottom 6 in steals per game. So you know what? Don't help them in any way, shape, or form. So yes, you averaged 11.5 turnovers or whatever the case may be against the Miami Heat, which is great. But you cannot give them easy points, aka points off turnovers. Yes, they can defend well. Yes, they can probably contest shots very well. They only allow 13 second chance points per game. That's it. That's it. I think if the Celtics can attack the glass offensively, that will cause the Cavs to be flustered with their defense since they'll have to do so much recovery. And then you do, yeah, it just, guys, I know I'm also recording this at like 6:30 in the morning, so I'm very tired. But like, if you can get second chance points off of long misses on three-pointers with Drew and Jason and Derek White crashing the rim, you're going to destroy this team's confidence. You really are. You really are. If the Celtics can average somewhere between 14 to 16 second chance points per game, which is doable. They think they averaged 11 against the Miami Heat, and the Miami Heat, whatever. Sorry, just it's very early. And the more that I talk about the Celtics in this goddamn run, the more I get fired up. Like, my right knee is shaking at a wild rate right now. Like, I'm fired up. It's 6:30 in the morning. What the fuck is going on? Wake up if you're listening to me. Wake it up. But anyways, do not turn over the ball against this team. Crash the offensive glass. And you hit more three-pointers than them because they cannot keep up with you shooting the three-point ball. It's not hard. And here's another positive. Dean Wade, right? Earlier this season, the Celtics beat the Cleveland Cavaliers twice, home and home, on December 12th and December 14th. And then back in March, I think it was March 5th, the Cleveland Cavaliers outscored the Boston Celtics 34-17 in the fourth quarter, and the Cavs won. And one of the big reasons for that was Dean Wade. And Dean Wade most likely is out with a knee injury for the rest of the season. He has a really bad knee sprain. Chances are he did not play at all in the Orlando Magic series. Chances are he's not playing against the Celtics as well. He could be out for the entire year. So that's obviously a little bit of a positive thing. But this team doesn't have a lot of playoff experience. Yes, you have Stand By Your Man Marcus Morris Sr., went to the Eastern Conference Finals with the Celtics. Then you have Donovan Mitchell. He's been not only in the Eastern Conference playoffs, but also the Western Conference playoffs. You have George Niang. He's from Lawrence originally, so props to him. He was with the 76ers, so really doesn't have a lot of experience after the second round. Max Strus used to play for the Miami Heat. He obviously has NBA Finals experience. So this team does have great experience. And when you think of some of their players, like Darius Garland, who, in my opinion, is just like the target version of Tyrese Maxey, he's very quick. He can get to his spots at the drop of a dime. He can really accelerate to the rim after Mobley or Donovan Mitchell or Marcus Morris or Jared Allen, whoever the case may be, sets a screen. He's really good at just being patient and then going at a quick rate. But his shooting is very on and off. It's bizarre. How his shooting is. Now, he had a really bad eye injury this year, and his first game back was that Celtics game, and he kind of like went off against them, but he slowed down a little bit. He is very hot and cold shooting-wise, but you put a big defender on him like a Jrue Holiday, I think that changes everything. And the amount of times that the Celtics switch and stuff, he's not going to be able to really accelerate to the rim as much as he likes to do. Yes, Jalen Suggs was guarding him in the Orlando Magic series. Yeah, maybe Gary Harris too, but I will take Jrue Holiday and Derek White over those two guards defensively any day of the week. And of course, you have Max Strus. And it's like, why can't the Celtics just get away from anything that is the Miami Heat? Right? Like, if you look at the next round, if the Celtics move on, you look at the Pacers. There's really no one from the Miami Heat on that team. And if they played, it was minimum minutes, but not these last couple years. And the same thing goes for the New York Knicks, if that's the case. That series is going to be bonkers. But that's only if they move on. So let's keep the eye on the prize here. But Max Strus loves playing against the Celtics. The Celtics cut him. I don't think he'll ever forget that. But just like you did with Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero and... oh my God, who's number 24 from the Miami Heat? I'm having a brain fart. Just shows how much I don't give a fuck about the Heat anymore. Anyways, you bump those guys off of their curls, off of, you know, off-ball screens and all that stuff, and they can't, you know, set up their shot properly. Max Strus is not going to be hitting a lot of threes, but there's probably going to be a game where he hits three or four, and we're all going to be furious. But the guy that I'm a little concerned about is Caris LeVert. Caris LeVert loves playing in TD Garden. Loves it. Earlier this year, I think it was the first game, December 12th, he dropped 26 points. Not bad, right? He has also scored 41 points and 51 points at TD Garden. No joke. One of those was with the Brooklyn Nets and the other one was with the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's crazy. He comes off the bench. He hasn't really done much in that Orlando Magic series, but he played very well in Game 7, was a huge boost for them off the bench. But if he's off, there's not a lot of bench scoring from this team. Seriously, especially with Dean Wade gone. I'm not worried about George Niang. It's if you can, if someone like Sam Hauser or if Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum, whatever the case may be, there's a lot of guys who can guard Caris LeVert. And if you can shut him down when Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland are on the bench, they don't have a lot of scoring. They don't have a lot of, like, Caris LeVert and Darius Garland can create their own shots, right? But when Donovan Mitchell and whatchamacallit, Darius Garland are sitting on the bench, I'm assuming they're not going to sit on the bench at the same time, but if they do, there's no scoring if Caris LeVert can't hit a shot. So the Celtics have to focus on that for sure. And then speaking of Donovan Mitchell, I mean, his knee isn't 100% right. And I mean, the fact that he dropped 89 points combined in Game 6 and Game 7 against the Magic, one of the better defensive teams in the league, is absolutely unbelievable. But there were just some times he would just get up and he would just start hobbling. Like, he will win this team a game. I'm telling you this right now. He's going to drop 40 in one of these games, and he's going to win, and I'm going to do my best not to want to jump off the Zaycum because of it. But Jaylen Brown, if you're listening, I know you're not, but if you're listening, Jaylen Brown might be in some foul trouble in this series because I believe Jaylen Brown needs to slow him down. I believe it's Jaylen Brown, Donovan Mitchell. That's the matchup everyone's going to want to watch, and that's the matchup that could win this series very quickly for the Celtics. Jaylen Brown all season has talked about how he wants to be an all-NBA defensive player, and he has proved that a lot this year. You go back and you look at all the superstar numbers like SGA and Luka and Devin Booker and all these guys that Jaylen Brown has defended, and he has given them hell. And he has to give Donovan Mitchell hell. Like, the Celtics have to be very good with switching. Their communication has to be unbelievable. They got to be ready to go and do it quick because no one, I mean, I don't want to say no one, Donovan Mitchell, the way he attacks the rim is special. It's, you know, as a basketball fan, it's fun to watch for sure. But he can beat you all over the court, especially close to the basket. He's very good at finishing. So that's just something that we have to, like, if Jaylen Brown, who we're used to scoring, you know, 25 points a game or whatever, but if he's now doing 20 points a game, 8 rebounds, 3 or 4 assists, but giving Donovan Mitchell hell, I'll be 1,000% okay with that, because if their best player, a guy who scored 89 points in their last two games, and I think combined as a team they probably scored 2-something, he's probably scored a third of their points. If you can minimize that, and with the way that this Cleveland Cavaliers offense is very hot and cold, hot and cold, and what was shown in the playoffs, even though they won. I believe I saw a stat. Oh, let me just look into my mind and see if I could see it on Twitter. I believe that this is only like the third time or the fourth time in NBA history a team that has won 7 games got outscored. I believe, I'm actually really confident about this. I believe the Cleveland Cavaliers won this series but lost by 31 total points. They got outscored by 31 points by the Magic and still won. So again, their offense is not very good. So if you stop their number one offensive guy in Donovan Mitchell, night-night for them. Bye-bye. What else do I want to talk about? Oh, let's talk about their twin towers. Jared Allen, Evan Mobley. Jared Allen didn't play in the final 3 games of the Orlando Magic series. There are reports out there that he's still in excruciating pain with his ribs. He's had a rib injury. I think he got elbowed, bruised ribs. So he might not even suit up for the first couple games of this series, which would obviously be massive without Dingus Bingus. But Jared Allen is a big part of this team. He played 81 straight games for them. The Cleveland Cavaliers are plus 202 points when he's on the floor, and they are plus 22 without him on the floor during the regular season. Absolutely insane. Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, they combined for 30 points and 19 rebounds per game. Very, very impressive stuff. Like, that's good. Evan Mobley, everyone thinks that, like, Jared Allen's a shot blocker. Sure, he is, blah, 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 blah. But Evan Mobley's a shot blocker. He averaged 3 blocks per game in that Magic series. And here's the thing. If you can take Evan Mobley off the glass, you're going to win. He had 16 rebounds in Game 7. They won. He had 6 rebounds in Game 6. They lost. He had 13 rebounds in Game 5. They won. So I know my calculus says U plus me equals us. Like, figure it out. Like, if the Cavs can't score off the bench, the Celtics will dominate. They really can. But here's the thing. This is the one thing I'm actually kind of nervous about in this series. This Cleveland Cavaliers team can close out games. They they really can. They came back from, what, a 18-point lead in Game 7. They were down by a lot in Game 6 as well at one point. But they aren't afraid. You need to step on their necks at all time. The foot has to be on the gas pedal at all times. Boston Celtics, at all times. Don't stop, go. Like, don't pass, go. Don't collect $200. Just go. Just see ya. Go. The Cleveland Cavaliers in the playoffs so far have the third best field goal percentage in the fourth quarter. The Celtics are 10th. Now, remember how I told you that the Cleveland Cavaliers have a really shitty shooting percentage from three? Yeah, well, it goes from 28% to 36% in the fourth quarter. So this team likes to play late in games, which I think we can all agree, whether you're an analytics guy or not, the Celtics aren't the best fourth quarter team in the world. Have they improved? Sure. But they're still not the best. So let's talk about the Celtics real quick before I let you go. We all know Tingus Pingus is out. But when you look at the Heat series, he only averaged 12 points and 5 rebounds per game. I think we can find a way to replace that, right? Right? Like, I think Drew Holiday can step up some scoring here. My buddy Mikey mentioned that Drew Holiday is due for a big offensive game. And what better time than right now in this series to get it over and done with very quickly? I mean, he's not wrong. Drew dropped 12 points during the regular season, and he only averaged 8 in the playoffs against the Heat so far. So can Drew Holiday score 5 or 6 more points a game now that Tingus Pingus isn't on the floor? Absolutely. Can, you know, Sam Hauser, Peyton Pritchard, can they score a couple more points? And only 5 rebounds? I think everyone can step up. Al's got to step up rebounding the ball. Drew, Derek, Jalen, Jason, Sam, whoever comes in, Luke, whatever the case may be, I think these 12 points and 5 rebounds can be replaced. The 40% from 3, that could be tough, but we'll see. But we'll see. But the big question is, can Luke Kornet or Xavier Tillman come off the bench in little spurts in this series and give you what you need to move on, and hopefully Tingus Pingus is ready for May 20th or May 21st when the Eastern Conference Finals playoffs start, if they move on. But all, like, if you're Luke Kornet and Tillman, all you got to do is just go out, defend, rebound, catch some lobs, communicate, and that's it. Tillman's been working on his three-point corner shot a lot, so that could be open for him, but I don't trust it. And speaking of corner threes, a lot of people think I'm going to bash number 12 right now. Please, I don't care about number 12 no more. And his comments the other day in the Boston Globe or Boston.com were fucking hysterical. What an idiot. But I think Luke Kornet has a lot of trust with Joe Mazzulla. I think Joe Mazzulla trusts Luke Kornet. I think their communication together and how they want the defense run is great. I think we're going to see a lot of Luke Kornet here, and it can be nerve-wracking at times, but I'm kind of okay with it right now. So when you look at the lineups that the Celtics had against the Miami Heat, the eye test, of course, you're like, okay, we need Tingus in there, right? But stats-wise, the top 5 lineups in this series, Tingus wasn't in all 5 of them. He was only in 2 of them, and Al Horford was in 3 of them. So that's going to make you feel a little bit better, right? We are going to be asking Al a lot from Al Horford this series. And obviously going every other day, it may catch up to Al. But for right now, we will believe he's always going to be drinking that fountain of youth. But yeah, he's going to be going up against someone like Evan Mobley, who's 6'11". Jared Allen and Al Horford are the same height. I know, sure, the afro makes him look taller, but he's really not that tall. He's only 6'9". Jason Tatum is going to have to defend Evan Mobley a lot. And listen, Al doesn't need to go above and beyond here. Just make open shots, make those classic Al Horford smart plays, and we'll be good. Al Horford has played in 172 playoff games and has only missed one season in the playoffs. So I don't care about Donovan Mitchell's playoff experience or George Niang's or Max Strus and all that. Al Horford has experience. Al Horford knows what it takes to win basketball games, especially at TD Garden with the Boston Celtics in the playoffs. Let's talk about something a little bit more serious here, okay? I'm going to end this really with Jalen and Jason, because Jalen and Jason need to end this series quickly. They need to, like, look at their eye on the prize here, right? Jason Tatum always talks about that Al Horford is his favorite teammate ever, right? Al Horford has a lot of responsibility on him now because of this Tingus Pingus situation. Jason and Jalen need to end this quick. I mean, Jalen's best friends with Tingus. What's a better way to be like, hey, bud, we just got you like another week of rest. We need it. I'm not here to be like, oh, I went on WebMD and read that this calf strain's going to be 10 days and 12 days and he's week to week. Shut the fuck up and just wait until Adam Hilzenbach or the Celtics tweet out when Tingus is going to be back. You can't stress over it. You just got to pray that the Celtics move on. And one of the reasons that the Celtics could move on and better move on and should move on and need to move on and should want to move on is Jason Tatum playing a little bit better because he wasn't his best against the Miami Heat. Yes, he crushed the boards better than he did in the regular season, which I asked in the first therapy session, which was great. And yes, the team was even. Yes, plus minus was zero with Jason Tatum on and off the court. Like, with him on the court was this ridiculous numbers. But he didn't have that killer instinct that you want. It happened in game four. He played three terrible minutes where he complained, turned the ball over, and then turned the ball over again, complained some more, and Joe benched him as he should. But he shot below his season average from the field and only shot 29% from three. So yes, Jason Tatum rebounded the ball well. He defended very well. He got others going and led the team in assist. I don't think he tried to force it as much as we used to because I believe the Heat defended him certain ways certain times to kind of also make him look like a decoy. But with how deep the Celtics are this year, that really didn't matter. I am sure there is a stat of who passed who to get hoops, and I bet you Tatum got Derek White going a lot in that Heat series. And speaking about Derek White, what a series, huh? What a great player. With the afro, without the afro, whatever the case may be, what an absolute delight it is to watch him play basketball every night. Now, eventually he's going to have an off night, so when that happens, he will need to contribute in other ways, which is all you can really ask for in a guy like that. But right now, it is really, really fun watching Derek White play basketball. But Jason Tatum needs to get his shot going. Yes, the assists were there. Yes, the rebounding was there. Yes, the defense was there. But Jason Tatum, I think, is a big opportunity for someone who complains and complains and complains the way that he does. If he wants to shoot some free throws, this is his time. This is his opportunity to do it. And I think he can get 8, 9, even 10 a game. I believe Pablo Banchero literally got like 10 free throws in the first half of game 7. So if Paolo can do it, I'm pretty sure Jason Tatum can do it too. And just real quick, I know this is a longer podcast than usual, but what is up with Jason Tatum's free throw routine? Does anyone else think that like is affecting him? What's up with that little hesitate that he does now? Why? It's weird, isn't it? That was never a thing before. I think it started after the All-Star break. Dribble, dribble, dribble. And then he kind of like, it's like a shot fake. I think he like kisses the ball and then dribbles again and then shoots it. I think it's weird. And I think his free throw shooting has been affected by it. But if Tatum attacks the rim in this series, I think it'll be just fine. Because if Jared Allen does play or Evan Mobley guards him, he's going to have to shoot a lot of step backs that have to go over the moon and shoot over them. Like, I'm not worried about Niang or Okoro or Marcus Morris Sr., like I mentioned earlier. Like, you can back those guys down in the paint, get to the elbow, kind of carry yourself through, get to the free throw line. Jason Tatum loves doing that, and he has a huge opportunity to do that in the series. But Tatum needs to get to the line, and he needs to shoot better than 80% from the free throw line. This is a series where Donovan and Jaylen can go toe-to-toe back and forth, but there is not another player on the Cleveland Cavaliers team that can go back and forth with Jason Tatum. This is a perfect way for Jason Tatum to get going, hopefully before the next playoff series. Like, this is it, and he needs to do it. You know, you also got to think about what Sam and Peyton can bring to the table. Peyton has never really played well against the Cavs. He didn't play twice against them. Mazzulla didn't even play him in December. He has shot 33% from the field in his career, so that'll be interesting. And I think Sam Hauser continues to have to be consistent. If he can outplay Max Strus in this series, that'll be great. Like, if Sam's shot is off, he's going to have to find other ways to contribute. You know, guys like Sam Hauser could help Al Horford. And I know that sounds weird, but if Al Horford needs a break and Sam Hauser's getting a couple rebounds and hitting a couple threes, Joe will keep him on the floor and maybe give Al a couple extra minutes of rest. But like, if Mobley is on the bench and Jared Allen doesn't play, you could have Brown, Drew, Derek, Sam, and Tatum as a lineup. And all Sam has to do is just, hey, well, I'll be in the corner. I'm open, ready to go. And then defend a little bit. That's it. But just a few other things before I let you go that I'm looking for in this series. Last series, I mentioned home court advantage, right? Home court advantage is going to be huge again in this series. Why do you ask? Because the Cleveland Cavaliers lost every single game on the road against the Orlando Magic. No joke. They went 4-3 in that series. That's why they're here. Best of seven. You got to win four. So they suck on the road. 0-3 on the road. They're 22-19 in the regular season. They are not a very good road team. They have lost twice at TD Garden this season already. Donovan Mitchell said he didn't like how the crowd said, "We want Boston." So if he's upset with his crowd, just wait. The Boston Garden crowd is going to be insane. But you're 34-7 in the regular season, 2-1 in the playoffs. That one loss against the Miami Heat, I think, was just laziness, and we're going to get rid of that. Okay? So take full advantage of this home court advantage. The other thing, Jaylen Brown led the team with 3.2 turnovers per game, which in some weird way is a good thing stats-wise for him, which makes me unbelievably uncomfortable. But the turnovers in game two that he had were absolutely embarrassing. He had some good games protecting the ball, maybe one, maybe two turnovers, and that's okay. He shot the ball well inside the arc, and I think we can all agree that's where Jaylen Brown is best. But the free throw shooting, holy shit, Jaylen. Holy shit, Jaylen. 7 of 18. Jaylen, you have an opportunity here to get to the rim a lot in this series. You really do. You could shoot 25 free throws in this series. You need to be like 17 of 25. Like, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. You're going to miss some. But Jaylen, come closer. Come closer. I won the Knights of Columbus free throw contest a couple times. Regional champion, okay? I'm 5'10", according to my license, and I can make free throws, okay?
Figure it out. Figure it out. Make your fucking free throws. Like, what Jaylen Brown did in game five was awesome. He shot 1 of 7 from three. You're like, what the fuck does that mean? He did awesome. But he shot 10 of 12 inside the arc. He found ways to score. He found ways to score in this three-point ball-heavy offense, and he did a great job of that all series. Find your spots. Take those elbow jumpers. Find layups. Find ways to get easy dunks, and you'll be good. And then finally, let that 34-17 fourth quarter in March against the Cavs in Cleveland motivate you. I feel like Joe Mazzulla will find anything. I mean, if the guy watches the town all the time to motivate himself, I'm sure he's going to find something to motivate, and that's a perfect thing. They outscored you 34-17, and someone by the name of Dean Wade put a big L on your forehead. You know you're better than that. Act like it. Jaylen and Jason need to win this series quickly. Jaylen talks about how this team is about to graduate. Cool. You gotta get to that class. You know you can get an A on the final, so do it. Don't give me some B+ type of thing, right? Because here's the thing. I need Banner 18. I want Banner 18. I have to have it. There is nothing in my life I want more. I would rather have Banner 18 more than happiness. Hopefully my therapist isn't listening. But for the love of God, don't give me this B+ lazy shit when you're trying to graduate. Go get an A. Go get an A+. Let's hang it on the fucking refrigerator. Go get it. Go get Banner 18. This should be over quick. 4-5. If it's 6 games, I get it. It's probably because of Donovan Mitchell. But for the love of God, if I'm at TD Garden on May 19th, I'm going to be furious. I can't even fathom the thought of that. But here's the thing. Jaylen's talking about graduating, huh? Cool. We're done with the first semester. It's cute, huh? We're about to finish our midterms here. We're going to be halfway there before the finals. Finish them. Finish them. Kill them. Kill them all. I want more anger. I want more aggressiveness. I want more dedication. You know, the Celtics released this trailer the other day called All In. It's going to be some cute little documentary series on Twitter it's probably going to be Celtics porn at its finest. I'm all in. Hey, Celtics, are you? I'm so in. I'm so in for Banner 18, and I need everyone else. So fucking win this series quick. God damn it. And let's go, Celtics.
Sorry, but I'm gone. I'm history. And I dedicated my life to the Boston Celtics. I dedicated my life to the fans of Boston. I did my very best to please each and every one of you. Good night.